It's Friday, September 4th, 2009, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org. and continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers, and welcome to the podcast. Did anything interesting happen on television last night? You know, perhaps on one of the cable sports channels? We'll be getting to that at the end of the podcast. But before we start things off, I'd like to talk a little bit about Normal and cannabis, specifically the idea of medical marijuana dispensaries and or head shops, you know, paraphernalia shops, working in concert with Normal. We get some people that contact us asking to start Normal chapters with the idea of running their chapter in a dispensary or benefiting from a dispensary or running it in a head shop or working in a head shop, etc. And we just need to let you know that that's not possible. Normal exists to reform marijuana laws to end adult marijuana prohibition. It's done for a love of justice and compassion. It's not done to make a profit. That's not to say that we've got anything against cannabis. In fact, we realize that through business and capitalism is probably the way that medical marijuana has spread so well throughout California and how we may change many people's minds, especially in these tough economic times, when it comes to relaxing on marijuana prohibition. However, Normal, and more specifically the Normal Foundation, is a 501c3 organization, federally tax exempt. And since the feds don't believe in medical marijuana, anytime there's any buying, selling, or cultivating of marijuana, well, if it's done in Normal's name, that jeopardizes the federally tax-exempt status and could get the whole national organization audited and even shut down. So we can't have anything to do with dispensaries or head shops, and the folks that run Normal chapters can't work at dispensaries or head shops or be on the boards of dispensaries or head shops or profit from dispensaries or head shops. So if you had that idea, you might want to just stick to the business side of things.
It only comes twice a day, but I don't care. It's 420 somewhere.
Well, the biggest thing on the Normal calendar of events, which you can find at norml.org/calendar, is that we've upgraded the calendar. That's right. The calendar now will display the events in your local time zone. So it'll be a lot easier to figure out what time things are happening. And all the events are color-coded by which time zone they are in. If you scroll down on the calendar, you'll see a big map that shows the United States and the different colors that represent the different items on the calendar. In the top right hand of the calendar, there's a little drop-down arrow. You can use that to eliminate some of the calendars from the screen to make it easier to find out what's going on in your local area. When you click on one of the items of the calendar, you'll even get a Google map that'll help to direct you to where that event is taking place. Now, of course, the big event happening is on Saturday, September 5th, where we're having the debut of Normal Show Live, 2 hours of live streaming internet talk radio dedicated to the cannabis community. You can call in live and make your opinion known. You can hear the show starting at 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern time at live.normal.org, or you can call in at 347-994-1810 and listen to the show by telephone. Our guests for the first show include Mason Tavert from the Safer Organization, Steve Fox from MPP, and our own Paul Armentano discussing the book they've co-written, Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink? Also joining us on the inaugural show is Alan St. Pierre, the Executive Director of Normal, to give his official benediction. And in the second hour, we'll be speaking to mixed martial arts champion Toby Tigerheart Greer from True Warrior Fitness. He'll be discussing why he's been banned from fighting in California because he tested positive for his legitimate use of medical marijuana. In other media on this weekend, you'll also catch this Friday night at 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern Time, Cannabis Common Sense, the cable access television show coming from Portland, Oregon, and hosted by Paul Stanford from the Campaign for the Regulation and Restoration of Hemp. Madeline Martinez from the Normal Board and the Executive Director of Oregon Normal and myself will be on the panel to discuss the latest news in the cannabis community, including a look at next weekend's upcoming Portland Hemp Stock. If you're not in the Portland area, you can catch it on your local cable access station if you live in Denver, Seattle, or some certain places in Michigan, or you can just watch it streaming live on the internet at ustream.tv. That's the letter U, stream.tv. Other events on the calendar include Paul Armentano, who has another radio gig before Normal Show Live. This will be Saturday, September 5th on the People's RX Show, 2:20 p.m. Pacific Time. On Sunday, we get our first event from the newly formed United States Virgin Islands Normal. They will be at the Reggae Festival at the Bolongo Bay Beach Resort, and they'll be doing a membership drive. Senator Nelson will be there on stage to talk about legalization efforts, and they'll be signing up new members, so check it out in the USVI. And in Lincoln, Nebraska, they'll be having their open meeting at 3 o'clock. This will be at the Coffee House Panache at 1324 P Street. This is their regular open meeting. And of course, Monday is Labor Day, so we wish all of you a happy and healthy holiday and hope you get to take the day off and get some rest. It's a Normal shout-out. My shout-out today goes to all of the Normal chapters out there who haven't yet built their calendar. What are you waiting for? Go to calendar.google.com and create yourself a Google Calendar for your chapter. You can put the events for your chapter on that calendar. You can post that calendar on your website and update it from any computer with internet access. Best of all, you can share that calendar with russ@normal.org, and that gets your events on the Normal calendar of events without any extra data entry. It's a great way to reach out to people who may be new to the area and looking for a way to get involved. If you need some help setting up the calendar, just send me an email at stash@normal.org. Now, coming up on today's Daily Audio Stash, we begin with your hemp headlines and a look at a fully paralyzed man in Canada whose wheelchair was taken away from him as punishment for using his legal medical marijuana. A DUI attorney in San Diego says that marijuana does not cause driving under the influence, but Normal's Paul Armentano has some other studies that might disagree with that. And in our stupid stoner stories, we remind you, don't take your weed to court. In our Daily Toker Tunes brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, it's a Rap Friday, and we feature the aptly named Bud Smoker and his song Supersonic Hydroponic Chronic. Then in our interview segment, we'll be speaking with Rick Steves, who's featured on the Normal website today in our Profiles in Cannabis. Rick Steves is the famous European travel guru who's featured on the PBS television show Rick Steves Europe, and he's a longtime supporter of getting smart on cannabis reform here in America. I was able to catch up with him at the Normal National Conference 2 years ago, and we had a brief discussion on the differences between European and American views on marijuana. All that and more coming up on your Normal Daily Audio Stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as in multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our normal daily audio stash, Hemp Headlines. Fully paralyzed Canadian man's wheelchair seized because of legal medical marijuana use. From Cannabis Culture Magazine. A Canadian care home resident with full body paralysis was confined to his bed against his will after his wheelchair was seized by caregivers, all because he smokes medical marijuana to relieve his multiple sclerosis. CHBC News reported yesterday that Niall Nagy, a Kelowna, British Columbia man who lives at the Brookhaven care home, was forcefully removed from his wheelchair and put in bed for a week after manager Adrian Vaughn objected to his legal use of medical marijuana. Nagy told the TV crew, quote, "She sent two men over here to take my wheelchair and tell me that I've got to stay in this chair for 7 days as a punishment. To get rid of pain in my spasms, that's the only two reasons I smoke it," said Nagy, who has a license from the Canadian government to smoke marijuana. Cannabis Culture has a video interview with the man as well. This is the stigma even legal users of medical marijuana still face. Sure, places like Canada, California, Colorado, and others won't arrest you and lock you up if you're a legit medical marijuana patient, but medical marijuana laws don't force employers, hospitals, care facilities, landlords, or the government to accommodate your use of medical marijuana. You're perfectly free to use your medical marijuana, so long as you don't mind homelessness, joblessness, removal from the organ transplant list, and revocation of your pain medications. Don't like it? Well, here, try some liver-killing addictive pharmaceuticals instead. Yes, I know, they can cause constipation, sexual dysfunction, nausea, lethargy, dizziness, sleep disturbance, and in severe cases, death. But the good news is that your employers, hospitals, care facilities, landlords, and the government are statutorily forbidden from discriminating against you for using those drugs, or even asking if you use those drugs in most cases, thanks to the Americans with Disabilities Act. That's a federal law, which naturally doesn't apply to medical marijuana, because as far as the feds are concerned, medical marijuana is an oxymoron. San Diego DUI attorney claims marijuana cannot cause DUI. San Diego, California. San Diego DUI lawyer Lawrence Taylor claims that California DUI laws should not be applied to marijuana usage. Unlike alcohol and many drugs, he says, marijuana probably does not impair driving. On the one hand, the California Department of Justice has found that marijuana impairs psychomotor abilities that are functionally related to driving, particularly at high dose levels or among experienced users. However, the San Diego DUI defense attorney points out, two federal studies contradict this. In one, the U.S. Department of Transportation conducted DUI research with a fully interactive simulator on the effects of alcohol and marijuana, alone and in combination, on driver-controlled behavior and performance. Although alcohol was found consistently and significantly to cause impairment, marijuana had only an occasional effect. accidents and speeding tickets reliably increased with alcohol, but no marijuana or a combined alcohol-marijuana influence was noted. Taylor, who heads a large firm of DUI attorneys with offices in Los Angeles, San Diego, Orange County, Riverside, and San Francisco, points to another more recent report. Entitled Marijuana and Actual Performance, it also found that, quote, THC is not a profoundly impairing drug. It apparently affects controlled information processing in a variety of laboratory tests, but not to the extent which is beyond the individual's ability to control when he is motivated and permitted to do so in driving, end quote. The researchers found that it, quote, appears not possible to conclude anything about a driver's impairment on the basis of his or her plasma concentrations of THC and THC-COOH determined in a single sample, end quote. Sounds like a woohoo moment, huh? Well, not so fast. Normal's Principles of Responsible Use states, quote, the responsible cannabis consumer does not operate a motor vehicle or other dangerous machinery while impaired by cannabis, end quote. The $64,000 question then is, what defines impaired? I can tell you that one puff off a vape bag full of Oregon's finest will severely impair your average Kansas ditchweed smoker, while that same puff for a 5-gram-a-day Oregon patient won't even break his concentration from completing the New York Times crossword. The same phenomenon exists for alcohol. The alcoholic can seem perfectly capable with as many drinks under his belt as would knock out your average sorority sister. But as a society, we decided that there should be an absolute measurable physical limit, 0.08 blood alcohol content, that defines impairment per se. That is, if you're over 0.08, you're too impaired, even if you're not really too impaired. As always, when there's a story about cannabis drug testing and driving, I called on Normal's deputy director, Paul Armentano. Here's what he had to say. As someone who is somewhat regularly brought in as a consultant for the defense in DUI marijuana cases, I can report, contrary to Attorney Taylor's claim above, that there are in fact several available studies associating certain blood THC levels, but not carboxy THC levels, with psychomotor impairment and or increased risk of traffic accident. And from there, Paul lists 6 different studies, all since 2004, that do show the impact of cannabis on driving. Now remember that blood THC is a measurement of the actual impairing substance, or actually the metabolized THC, which is more psychoactive than the initial THC that you inhaled, while carboxy THC, or that THC-COOH, that's the inactive metabolite they detect on P-tests that doesn't prove any impairment, only past use. My personal preference would be that all chemical measurements of impairment, even blood alcohol tests, be abandoned in favor of punishing people for actual impairment. If a person is driving poorly enough to warrant a traffic stop and then cannot pass a field impairment test, you know, walking the line, touching your nose, whatever, they should be busted for driving while impaired, no matter whether that impairment is alcohol, THC, antihistamines, lack of sleep, or illness. But since blood alcohol measuring isn't going anywhere, I suppose that we'll have to adopt some measure of THC blood testing and some per se limit that defines impairment. I'll bet soon we'll see a device like diabetics use to test blood sugar. One quick prick on the fingertip, a drop of blood on a test strip, and in 90 seconds, we know what you're on.
Stupid Stoner Stories.
As a public service, Normal reminds you that smoking marijuana will not make one stupid. However, some stupid people do smoke marijuana. Don't be one of those stoners that make the rest of us look bad. Learn your lesson from today's
Stupid Stoner Story.
How many times do I have to tell you people?
Don't take your marijuana to court. From the Daily Record, Lincoln Park, New Jersey.
A Newark man who allegedly placed a plastic container holding marijuana into a bin intended for metal objects at the municipal court on Wednesday night was arrested on drug possession charges, police said. Jerome M. Polite, age 19, was accompanying a friend to court and put the container into one of the bins while going through the metal detector at 6 p.m., police said. When Officer Greg Bosland, who was working courtroom security, inspected the container, he discovered the bag of marijuana. Polite, who then allegedly attempted to grab the item from Bosland, was arrested, charged with possession of marijuana, and brought back to the court for his first hearing, police said. Police also discovered two outstanding warrants for Polite's arrest, totaling $679. He was unable to post bail and turned over to the Irvington Police Department.
So, let's see. You put your plastic container full of weed on the tray because you were about to go through a metal detector. Is that stupider than Damon Stoudemire's famous attempt to get weed wrapped in tinfoil through a metal detector? Yes, it is. Because Stoudemire was traveling through an airport, but you were tagging along with a friend to go to court. Never did you think, state and federally illegal contraband plus armed officers of the law equals free room and board at the Gray Bar Hotel. How many times do I have to tell tokers to not take their weed to court or the police station or the jail? Apparently, once was not enough, twice was not enough, three times was not enough.
NormalCon 2009, Yes We Cannabis, September 24th through 26th, 2009, in San Francisco, California.
The war on drugs has been an utter failure, and I think that we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
President Obama was right in 2004, and 5 years later, the American people agree.
As regards to legalization, it's not in the president's vocabulary, and it's not in mine.
We're working hard to make sure legalization is in the drug czar's vocabulary.
Whether legalizing marijuana would improve the economy, the answer is no. I don't think that is a good strategy.
There's nothing funny about legalization, Mr. President. Registration, sponsorships, and vending information is available at norml.org or by calling 888-67-NORMAL. The battle to end adult marijuana prohibition can sometimes seem endlessly frustrating and impossible to overcome. One way we bond as a community and draw strength to continue is by rejuvenating our spirit through art and music. The Marijuana Music Awards exist to recognize those sonic artists in all genres of music who feature a ganja-friendly message to motivate and inspire all the cannabis community. Our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, feature the finest in blues, rock, jazz, hip-hop, rap, reggae, country, bluegrass, and dance music to enhance that 420 feeling while promoting the message of reform. To donate your song for possible use on the stash, enter it in the next Marijuana Music Awards contest today. For It's a Wrap on Friday, we hear the popular song Supersonic Hydroponic Chronic by Bud Smoker. Bud Smoker has made a few great smoke songs and runs an extensive marijuana website called Smoking with Style. Smoking with Style has been online for a number of years and covers all you need to know about weed, pipes, bongs, blunts, lighters, smoking etiquette, and much more. For more about Bud Smoker and Smoking with Style, check out smokingwithstyle.com. And registered stashers, you can get an MP3 download of this tune. It's Supersonic Hydroponic Chronic by Bud Smoker.
Hydroponic Chronic.
Try to stop me at the last revive.
Help, I'm Needless to say, I spend my money on the intel. And if I happen upon a seed, I grow it like coming through my window. It's sin though, so I'm told. The only sin I see is when I'm fiending and the joint has not been rolled. Some enjoy the sip of gin and tonic, but I'll be smoking supersonic, hydroponic, chronic. I'm getting high with the capital J. I'm smoking pot all day, it's the only way to play. What can I say? I've got red eyes, yet I keep on choking. I'm jiggity joking when I say I quit smoking the herb. Hit the curves, it's about to get crazy. Some motherfuckers smoking and they get lazy, but I never die when I take a hit. I smoke the crazy shit, you might have heard of it. I'll admit, I think about it when I bust a nut. I hump an ugly slut, and then I reach for the doobie that does me up. And if I somehow sound moronic, it's because I'm smoking supersonic, hydroponic, chronic.
Supersonic,
hydroponic, chronic. Hydroponic, chronic. Hydroponic, chronic. Hydroponic, chronic.
I take one hit and then I start flying. Sometimes I think I hear my brain cells fry, but it makes me more creative, you know. When I get high, I can roll with the flow. Show me the dough. I'll show you what it means to get real high. Don't try to stop me and don't ask me why. Stick the bone to your lips and start choking. You'll know when you're done because your ass will start smoking. You'll be choking when you're done with your turn. And then a short time later, you will start to burn. So you reach for the bone to take another hit. But it isn't your turn, so you throw a fit. Aw, shit, it's finally coming your way. But then your homie interrupts you and you hear him say you forget something, so make your own mnemonic. You think you're getting sick, but it isn't the bubonic. Now things will start to clear and you might think that it's ironic, because you're smoking supersonic, hydroponic, chronic.
Supersonic,
hydroponic, chronic.
Revolution, and now let's take back America.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Like millions of freedom-loving Americans, I'm a marijuana smoker, and I don't think that that should be any of the government's business. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana. The next time you light up, take the time to let your elected officials know how you feel. It's time we legalize marijuana and stop treating marijuana smokers like criminals. For more information on how you can help legalize marijuana, please contact Normal at NORML.org.
2 years ago at the Normal National Conference, I had the delightful opportunity to interview Rick Steves. You know him as the European travel guru whose books are top 10 bestsellers on European travel, as well as his television show on public broadcasting, Rick Steves Europe. We discussed the differences between European and American views on marijuana prohibition.
Well, the United States is outvoted in the United Nations routinely 140-4 on issues that really matter to the developing world. Issues of hunger, issues of environment, issues of peace, and so on. And Europe is part of that 140, generally. And I'm in Europe a third of my adult life. I spend 4 months a year over there talking with Europeans. And I'm interested in the politics and the economics and so on. And I've noticed there's a lot more Americans traveling with Canadian flags, which I think is really a shame. I travel as an American, and I've never had to hide the fact that I'm an American. Europeans like Americans. They like the concept of America, and Europeans can't understand what's going on with our foreign policy. They shake their heads, and they just can't believe it. They cut us a lot of slack for the first 4 years of President Bush's administration. Then we reelected him, knowing what we were electing, and they cut us a little less slack, I got to say. But they still, I marvel at how they accept us, and in spite of what they think about our foreign policy. But across the board in Europe, if anybody votes for our foreign policy, it's tough love from their government realizing that it's bad economics for their country to buck us. They're going against their own democratic wishes, I find, across the board in Europe. Yeah, I think the only country in Europe that I've found, and this is just my anecdotal, I mean, you know, I'm not a politician or anything, I'm just a travel writer, but the only place I've been where I find that most people actually support the United States in our war in Iraq is Poland, because Poland called for preemptive strike against Hitler back in the 1930s when they saw an evil man that they should be taken out preemptively, and everybody ignored him, and Poland got destroyed. And so they saw a parallel with Saddam, and they said, at whatever the cost, it's good that we got rid of Saddam. So that's one perspective.
So Americans have nothing to fear, you know, traveling in Europe. They're not looked down upon.
Oh, no. I was just on a tour in southern France, a little mom-and-pop winery, and we had like 8 or 10 people on the tour, a few Americans, a few Brits, a few other Germans or whatever. And the woman realized, oh, we've got Americans here. And before she started the tour, she said, we just want to acknowledge here, we've got some Americans in our tour. We want to say that we are forever thankful for the United States for courageously defending us against and freeing us from Nazi tyranny. And, you know, there's that sentiment in Europe still. And for Americans to be told, to tell Europeans that they're unthankful because they won't follow us into Iraq, it's just a non sequitur. They're thankful. They'll always be thankful. We won the Cold War. We won Hitler. But they're not going to follow us into every war. And the war we're in right now, by every European assessment that I've encountered, is worse than a mistake. It's flat out evil and it's empire.
Certainly, and we, you know, it seems like the United Kingdom, they're starting to pull their troops out just recently.
Oh, yeah.
The
well, Bush, there that. Was just, I just saw on John Stewart the other night, Bush was saying we got 30 people in our coalition and 30 nations in our coalition, and these are token forces of 1 to 10 people, you know, who are with us.
Yeah, Iceland pulled their one public affairs officer.
That's right.
So, that was part of the 30.
But, I mean, American, the funny thing for me is the naivety of the American electorate. We buy this stuff. We buy this stuff, and we buy it again and again and again. We don't learn how bogus it is. Europeans are much more savvy and sophisticated politically because they really believe there are nuances in these issues, and they don't boil everything down to bumper stickers. You don't see bumper stickers in Europe.
Right.
You see bumper stickers in America, and worse, you find politicians talking in bumper stickers. But a fundamental difference between America and Europe is politicians in Europe are representing people. Politicians in America are representing corporations. People indirectly, because people own corporations, but it is government by and for people via corporations in America, and it's directly people in Europe. Consequently, laws in Europe come about that are good for people, even if they're bad for business, and you're less likely to see that in the United States. And in the long run, what's good for people is good for business. That's the European take.
Yeah, I forget the comedian who said it, but he had said he'd wish that American politicians were forced to wear outfits like NASCAR drivers that had their corporate sponsors logo all over their coat.
Well, that would be a good thing. I think I think American politicians would do well to travel a little bit. It's amazing how untraveled most of our decision makers are. And it's amazing when they do travel, what a skewed view they get, because they sit on the rooftop of the Intercontinental Hotel and talk with their ambassador and get an assessment of the situation. They got to get out there on the ground and see what it's like. And it's the same thing about drug policy issues. You know, if people would travel and talk with other law enforcement people, with other people who are in these heroin maintenance clinics, who are in the running the police, who are trying to keep track of all the drug problems in the Netherlands, they would realize there are some pragmatic alternatives that haven't even been considered in the United States. In the United States, we just have to do what is politically expedient, and that's be hard on drugs.
Yeah.
Well, in the United States, you got two options. You can be soft on drugs or hard on drugs. In Europe, there's an alternative. You can be smart on drugs. And that's the message I'm bringing home. That's why I flew to Los Angeles today to kind of rally the troops the best I can here at the normal convention, because we got some work to do.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit. Just today, I guess it'd be yesterday's paper, Friday's paper, you had that op-ed. There's a 1,000-word op-ed on the back page of the front section of the LA Times regarding this about, it was called the Europe's anti-drug war, drug anti-war, I think I've got that.
Right.
What is the difference in the European perspective with regards to this so-called war on drugs?
Well, America likes to militarize things. I mean, a war on drugs.
A war on nouns.
A war on terror. I mean, a war on whatever. It's not a war in Europe. It's a problem, and they're dealing with it pragmatically. In Europe, they recognize drug abuse as a health issue, not a criminal issue. And the measure of a society's drug policy is how effectively it reduces the harm drug abuse causes its society. Not how many people you lock up, but harm reduction. If America could see drug abuse as a health issue, and if it could measure its effectiveness in harm reduction, we could learn a lot from Europe, and we could help a lot of people. Right now, we've got a situation that just congests our legal system, something that demoralizes our police officers, something that really messes up the credibility of parents, teachers, and law enforcement people, and that credibility is important when it comes to teaching young people about the dangers of drug abuse and the consequences of hard drugs and so on.
Yeah, I often say that if you want to be perceived as a leftist radical today in America, just talk like a founding father.
Yeah, you know, isn't that a sad truth?
Yeah, it's very, very sad.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, The Growing Truth About Cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.norml.org, and you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent.
We leave you today with a quack quack here and a quack quack there, here a quack, there a quack, everywhere a quack quack. All what fun I had last night watching my beloved Boise State Broncos go 1-0 on the season in their biggest opening home field game ever against the Oregon Ducks. Held them to 0 first downs in the first half, 5 three and outs, and 1 safety. It was just an amazing game. Had Boise State not played so sloppily, it would have probably been a 3-touchdown rout. So we're getting involved in the football season. As you can tell, this is something I like to do to get us integrated with the community, to show that we pot smokers are just like anyone else. We like our feetsball games. I hope you'll tune in to Normal Show Live this Saturday night at 6 p.m. Pacific at live.normal.org. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.